Got Rob of Bad Back Cast in with us. Hey, Rob.
Hey.
And we've got Mark Landy Crew from Virginia Beach. Hey, Mark.
What's up, y'all?
What's up? we got, let's see. Hold on. Is that, that's D. D
Where's
isn't.
Where's D?
D's, now D's online. Hey, D.
Hello.
How are you, girl?
Awesome. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Just kicking it here. And we got Dino with us from Georgia Kayak Fishing. Hey, Dino.
Hey.
And we got the, I don't recognize the number, 502 area code. Who's that?
Pam.
Hey, Pam. How are you tonight?
Doing great. How about you?
All right. Glad you could make it. So, it's Thursday, and we're all here. Gonna do a little bit of chatting this evening. We're at, Mark, what's the countdown, buddy?
The countdown's at 15 and a wake up, I believe.
15 and a wake up. 15.
Right now, in 14 days, my butt would probably be in North Carolina on the 95 somewhere.
Yeah, you're not gonna stop for a little beach fishing, or you're just gonna smoke on through.
I'm just gonna, as soon as I start moving, I'll be moving.
All right. So 15 to wake up, and looks like Chuck has just joined us. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
All right, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It is, man, and I don't know if I could complain too much because I think it's probably colder up where Mark is. We're looking at freezing here. We had a little bit of snow up around Dino's way up on the north side of Atlanta.
But, it's about as cold as it is up here.
Say again?
Right on the edge of freezing.
Yeah,
nothing
we're
spectacular.
A little bit of sleet and stuff, but in a couple of weeks, man, we're going to actually, in 2 weeks, we will be doing Kayak Fishing Radio live from the living room with Yak Sushi in the house. And Pam will be joining us, too, live.
Yes, I will.
All right. So, and then the next morning, we jump up and beat feet down and start fishing on the coast, right?
Sounds awesome.
That sounds like a plan. So let's see.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, we got Hammerhead 74 with us in the chat room. Here we go. We got a couple of guests, and I'm not seeing what they're signed in as. And we've got Jag Yacker with us tonight. So. Awesome, big crew. And do what? Oh, okay. All right. Got a Yak Hack in there with us, so Rob, keep me honest in the chat room there, man, so I can, if I miss a question or something, point it out to me.
Okay.
All right.
You got it.
All right. Anybody do any fishing this week, or just all been stuck inside? I think it was windy down your way, wasn't it, Dee?
It was windy yesterday. And then they predicted windy today, but there was no wind. And, you know, you walk to your favorite fishing hole and look and go, I should be fishing.
Yeah.
So that was my day for today. I was really upset. But I caught up on laundry. I vacuumed. I washed the dog. I did all kinds of stuff. So it was good.
That was good. I guess you got to do those things sometime. You got to do it sometime,
not tomorrow,
right?
Though.
No.
I got out on Tuesday.
Say again, Chuck?
I got out on Tuesday.
Yeah, what'd you get, buddy? Any luck?
I did pretty good. Got 5 redfish, all upper slot and a couple of them that were just over 30 inches.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting part of the day was, for the first time that I know of, I was actually stalked by an alligator.
You were stalked by a gator?
I was actually, what I would say would be the first time that I've ever been a little alarmed about an alligator being near me. Yeah, he made himself, he made his present self. How about that?
Yeah? Was it a big gator?
Yeah, he's about 9-footer.
I would call that a big gator, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on
was that in the goon there, Chuck?
I didn't hear you, Dee.
Was that in the lagoon?
Yeah, it sure was. I was down in the South End Mosquito Lagoon, down on the middle banks, right where I took you guys, see? And I had caught a nice fish, probably about 26, 27 inches, and I jumped out of the kayak to get a good picture of him, because the only way that I can get like a kind of a full body shot of me and the fish is, and without my fat belly hanging over, is by jumping out of the kayak and actually setting my camera up on my Scotty rod holder.
Yeah.
And pushing the little timer button. So I did that, and I thought everything was cool. I get a picture, I turn around to release the fish, and probably less than 15 feet from me lays this 9-foot gator staring at me. And it is honestly the first time that I've ever been a little freaked out on the river. I've been around them for a long time. I mean, I pretty much grew up down here fishing, so I'm well aware of gators and everything. That's the first time one snuck up on me like that. And
in the water, though.
Yeah, in
you
the
were
water.
In the water,
that,
though. That's why. Normally they sneak up on you when you're in the kayak and you feel a little bit more comfortable.
Right. And you know what really kind of freaked me out is normally when you stand up or normally when you make yourself look bigger, they tend to kind of go away. And I'm 6'1" and I'm kind of a heavy set guy, and I kind of probably look like a little pansy out there flailing my arms around trying to get this thing to leave me alone. But he wasn't scared. And in fact, as I was walking closer and closer to my kayak, he was getting closer and closer to me. And not until I got in the kayak and actually stood up in the kayak did he actually leave. And that was kind of hairy.
That gator
so
has been fed.
You didn't get a picture of
before.
Him, huh?
Yeah, that gator's definitely been fed. Or something's up with him. I could tell you though, it was well worth it, the scare, for the quality of fish that I caught. I'm really looking forward to the IFA this year because you know, I think that I might give those guys a run for their money. So
when is that tournament, man?
Well, they've got 3 different events for the area that I live in. They've got a Jacksonville event, then a Titusville event, and then I think it's Fernandina Beach event. And the Jacksonville one's first. I believe it's March, I want to say. Yeah, I believe it's in March. And then Titusville, I think, is in May. I'm not sure. I got to look again, but it's a kind of a cool setup. I think if anybody's listening that's in that area, they should probably join up on that tournament because last year, I think only 50 guys, or approximately 50 guys, signed up for the Jacksonville and the Fernandina Beach one. Titusville. I mean, there was nobody really fixed the Titusville one because the weather was kind of crappy. But, you know, Hobie's the main sponsor. Obviously, I don't paddle for Hobie. I'm part of Team Emotion, but Hobie's giving away the pedal kayaks this year for first place, and then kayaks through third place, I believe, and then some cash on top of that. So, you know, if I should be so fortunate enough to win one of those events and win a pedal kayak, I'm sure I can sell it for a good price and pick up a couple more Emotions.
Well, I can say this, Chuck. There is nothing wrong with a grown man screaming like a girl, flailing his arms in a lagoon somewhere. You know, if you've got a big old deer looking at him.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Just trust me. When I get down there and there's a two-inch gator sitting there next to my kayak, you'll hear me screaming like a girl, flailing my arms.
All right, man. Cool.
Little crying,
leave them out alone.
A little pooping. Oh, that'll happen. Stop the time, baby.
I don't think you make noises like a girl, man. You just make noises like a boy.
Oh,
you know,
no, trust me.
Funny,
I would sound like a little girl.
It was funny because, you know, I've been around a lot of really big alligators, and I used to do a lot of fishing in the freshwater lakes and in the St. John's River. And if you guys have never been to the St. John's River, you don't know what big alligators are until you've been in there. There's some in there that are 12, 13, 14 foot. So, I mean, some monsters. And, Even when you're in the St. John's and you're, like, say you're on an airboat and you're fishing for speckled perch or bass or whatever, I don't care if you got 3 foot of gunwale between you and the boat, it's still pretty eerie.
Yeah, well, I had an opportunity to spend a couple of months down in the Northern Territory in Australia, and those saltwater crocs, they get your heart rate up. We saw one. It was coming down. It looked like a submarine coming down the river. And those suckers jump out of the water like 8 feet, man. So
yeah, I've heard some stories of saltwater crocodiles climbing fences and stuff too. You get the dogs and stuff. Kind of crazy.
Yeah. They just kind of.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll tell you what, anybody who's going to be in the area of the Mosquito Lagoon in the next couple of weeks, Dee, maybe you might would take a ride up there for this. There's been a school of giant redfish that's been kind of hanging out just outside of a creek. If you take Biolab Road, and people who are familiar with the lagoon know what Biolab Road is. If you take Biolab Road all the way down towards the south end of the lagoon, you're going to pass a small creek, or actually pass over a small creek that runs out from the saltwater marsh and flows into the Mosquito Lagoon. Well, I saw about 100 redfish that were probably, I don't know, average size, probably around 40, 45 inches, just cruising back and forth across the bar that's just outside of that. And I've talked to several people that said those fish have been there for a number of days, or if not weeks. So it might be something to go look at, but that's my fishing report for the area. I'm done talking now.
What are you doing tomorrow, Chuck?
I got to work.
Aw.
Yeah.
Good thought.
You got a guide tomorrow there, Dee?
No, I am off tomorrow. So I'm heading out, but the winds are 5 to 15 tomorrow from the south, so that would be really great for that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody
want to
go?
Do I want to go? Yeah, I want to go.
Let's go.
I'm just thinking about 8 hours north of it, and I've got class. I've been in this contracting officer's technical representative class all week long. It's about as fun as watching grass grow. So, yeah, I definitely would enjoy going fishing, but I'm going to have to wait for a couple more weeks before we get down that way.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from today.
Excuse me?
2 weeks in a day, exactly.
2 weeks in a day, that's right, man.
Yeah.
Actually, well, I guess it would be 14 in a wake up then, man. Your timing is a bit off, right? So.
Yeah.
So, So you're gonna bring you're gonna bring some plastics down, right?
I got a new reel
for the fly rod, so gotta get some flies tied up. Hang on, I knew somebody was gonna ask that. I can't think of the name right off the top of my head. I'm gonna look it up here. But it's a 3.5, so it's kind of like a 8 to 10 weight. I've got it loaded up with 10, and I've got a two-piece old 9 weight that I'm throwing with it. So it's shooting it pretty good. It's a little weight forward, 10 weight line on there. Got about 150 yards of backing. I don't think I need that for all that skinny water you guys get now. It is a Lampson Tonic. I looked at the Bass Pro Shop here and picked that rascal up.
That is a good reel, my man.
Dig in?
That is a good reel.
It feels good. I mean, it's real nice. The drag is real smooth on it and everything. I like the way, and it's a nice size. It balanced pretty good on that two-piece rod that I've got. So I'm looking forward to throwing that rascal.
Yeah, I have a Lampson Radius. That's my 7 and 8 weight reel. Mm-hmm. I love the Lampson stuff, man. It's really good quality, and they don't beat you up on the price.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was like, the Bass Pro even gave, when I opened up my wallet to get my card out, the guy saw my retired military ID, or he saw the military ID. He didn't know if I was retired or not, but they gave me a discount. I think I got it for $120.
Yep, good deal.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to throwing that thing when we get down there. What's the water temps down your way?
It was actually not too bad. I was wearing a set of waders, so I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't really feel how cold it was. But I'd say it's probably creeping up to the 60s now. It was down real in the low 50s there for a while.
Right.
It's definitely, I would say probably mid-60s by now on the flats for sure. I know walking back in towards the truck, the water and the really skinny stuff was pretty warm. And I was kind of surprised how warm it was. I'd say probably high 60s in the real skinny stuff, and in the middle of the lagoon, probably mid to low 60s during the day, you know, during the heat of the day.
Yeah. Dave's like wanting to borrow my... borrow my ID card there. How's it going tonight, soccer dad? But, D, is that about the same up there where you're at, around 60 or so?
Yeah, just about 62 midday, about 3 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like, you know, morning temp. And then, like he said, it gets really hot because when you're getting off the water and it thins up, you've got the darker sediment on the ground, so it heats up a lot quicker. So it does get a lot warmer when you're getting off.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw on yakangler.com that some of our friends there in the Jacks area, somebody went out and pre-fished the little Talbot area and showed off a pretty nice stringer of trout.
That was Charlie.
Charlie? Charlie got out there and did a little pre-fishing for us. So, appreciate that.
And you mentioned something about getting on a bunch of reds, too.
On some reds? Some rats?
Yeah, some reds.
I know that Speed Limits Fishing today was on Jacksonville, and they were catching pretty much the conditions we're looking at. They caught some 30-some-odd reds, a bunch of the sand trout, or whatever the bugger they're called. I have no idea. And flounder. So if I can catch some flounder, boy, we'll be eating good. Woo!
Flounder, is that kind of odd for this time of year?
Sorry. No.
No?
No, no. You know, you got a couple things going on. You'll find, like, they'll come in and spawn from, like, the inlets in November, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good inlet fishing, and whether it's like Fort Pierce or Sebastian Inlet, and I think it's a little bit more north too. But you'll find flounder year round on the flats and potholes, sure.
Mm-hmm. You guys get the big doormats over there?
Most of those are going to be from the inlet itself. Outside the inlet, I think my biggest one has been about 22 inches, 21. I think, I mean, I consider a doormat being 24, 25 and above.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But everybody's different.
We get a lot of a big flounder offshore in myself and Dee's area. Offshore on the Rexon Reef in like 60 to 100 foot of water. So, I mean, that's one thing I got to say, man. I would trade our smoke fishery in a minute for the flounder fishery that Jacksonville has.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with you, Chuck. I'm so with you. I'll take flounder over snook any day.
Okay, now, why are you trading flounder for snook? I mean, is it just because you're looking for table fare or you think they're better fight or better? Yeah.
Well, I grew up fishing flounder and fluke, so to me it's kind of like one of those things. It's, you know, I call myself Redfish Chuck, but deep down inside, I'm a flounder freak, man. I mean, if I get a chance to catch flounder, I'm on it, you know. But, yeah, for table fare, I wouldn't say that flounder's a better eating fish than a snook. Snook are great. It's just I prefer the style of fishing you have to do in order to catch flounder to having to chase snook around. And in our area, I mean, Dee is fortunate because she's pretty close to the inlet. Up by me, you don't see that many snook in the river. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know. Dee might be able to chime in and give a little bit more information why she likes it.
Well, I, again, it's almost the same thing as you, except I do prefer flounder over snook. And, you know, I think a lot of people make a big deal out of the flavor of snook. But, hey, you know, everybody has different tastes. That's why you have Taco Bell versus McDonald's, right?
Amen.
Okay.
But I appreciate, yeah, I definitely love flounder fishing way more than snook. I think, to me, actually, flounder fishing, the hunt is more challenging than it is with a snook, because I can see a snook, and I can cast to the snook, and depending on, you know, what that guy wants to do that day is one thing, but to find flounder is a little bit harder. You can't even see them, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you're diving, it's tough to see them down there.
Well, I'll tell you, you want to hear a funny story about diving. I know you like to dive. One of my buddies is a commercial diver, and I think he just set probably some sort of a record. On one dive, he killed 74 flounder.
What?
Holy crap. On one dive, 74 flounder. There was he killed so many flounder that his bag broke.
Wow. His
bag broke open, and he caught it just in time before they all started spilling out of his bag. And we're not talking about 22, 23, 24-inch flounder. We're talking 10, 12, 13, 14, 15-pound flounder.
And that's some
every
big
one of them. Yeah, kind of crazy.
How many years back was that?
That was last week.
No.
What?
Yep, that was last week outside Port Canaveral.
Wow.
See, that's the thing that's so different than up here up north. Our flounder fishery is so decimated. You know, I'll give you an idea. For me to keep three flounder, they have to be 19, two of them have to be 19 inches and the other one has to be 21. So it is very difficult to find fish that size. You go even farther north, like in Long Island, New York, it's insane. I mean, you got to catch a 24-inch flounder, just, you know, fluke up there, you know, to be, just be able to keep it. It's sickening.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. I'm from Long Island, New York. I used to fish the Great South Bay, and, they decimated that population. I think part of that was the striper fishing ban and all that kind of thing. They allow the stripers to get kind of out of control, and a big striped bass is going to eat the heck out of every flounder that he sees laying on the bottom. But, if you want me to make you sick, in the state of Florida, in order to keep a flounder, he only has to be 12 inches.
Yeah, that's panfish.
Oh, and how many can you keep?
It's not even worth keeping a 12.
Isn't it 10, Dee?
Yes, it's 10. 10?
Yep.
10.
Yeah.
10 and 12. I forgot what the size is, but, yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know how many people are going to catch.
That's not even worth the lane.
No.
Well, and another quick little tidbit about flounder. I used to work at a commercial scalloping plant back when I was like 16, and the scallop boats, if you've never seen those in action, are pretty interesting. Those guys go out and they scrape the ocean floor and pretty much rid it of life for the area that they're doing it. And I'm not proud to say I work for them, but anyhow, they didn't have holding tanks on those boats, so all they do is just dump a huge pile of scallops up on the back deck of the boat. And they have to come in with their booms out, otherwise the boats would roll over from all the weight. But anyhow, part of the bycatch of catching scallops, obviously, is going to be flounder. And we used to fill coolers up with, you know, just monster doormats. I think the biggest one that we weighed on a scale at the commercial house was like 15 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to work on the scalloping boats out of Shinnecock Inlet. And
there you go.
Yeah, we would catch lobster boats, lobster pots, whole pots, stringers, and it was awful. The amount of bycatch you would get, but you know, people want scallops. You have to, you know, you get one in one hand, three in another. It's the joy of mass demand.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of scallops too, I got a good idea for another road trip for us. We should all meet up and go over to the West Coast over in the Gulf side and do a scallop run.
Where are the scallops at now? I know I haven't seen any scallops up in the Pensacola, up in a panhandle in a couple of years. I mean, they used to be just very plentiful.
Crystal River's a pretty big area.
Who?
I think Crystal River's a pretty big area over there. I don't know. Rob, do you know?
No, I've never really been into scallop fishing, nothing like that. I know up near Homosassa, you can I don't know what time of year, but you can go. Really, it's really close to shore. It's kind of like this little rocky, you know, it's less than a mile offshore in a certain spot up in Homosassa where there's a bunch of rocks around and stuff, and. Another, you know, in that same spot, you can catch, I think it's the same time of year, you can get keeper grouper come up real shallow there around those rocks. It's like a natural little reef that happens right there. Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it to save my life, but it's supposed to be really cool. I've never done it.
Yeah, Homosassa is what I was thinking about.
You can go down and, yeah, Homosassa is not far from Crystal River. You can go down and just, you know, you can see the scallops right there from the surface, and you can go down and, you know, pick them off with your knife or whatever, and there you go. You can get a bag of them. Hey, Chuck, were you telling me last week that that somebody diving that you know got, like, how big of a lobster over there on the other coast? Or
it was me. I forgot what poundage it was, but it was bigger than his dive tank. It was well over 10 pounds. It was huge. The biggest lobster I've ever seen in my entire life, and he caught it right off the beach.
Man, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We used to when I was going through flight school. My wife was living down in Port St. Lucie. Got cousins that live in Jensen Beach, and for the Sportsman Weekend, it's usually what, July 4th is the state waters. It's a weekend prior to federal waters opening up for lobster. They would have a big lobster rodeo at all the dive shops around there. And some of the biggest bugs I've ever seen in my life. I mean, monsters. Like, this was back in, I guess it was 87, 89, in those 2 years, we hit the beaches on those weekends, and you would see folks pulling out 12, 15, 18-pound lobsters. I mean, nothing but tail, too. You know, you just pull the tail off. It's like a turkey breasts, man. They're so huge.
Yeah, the guys that come into my shop and Josh that works with me, the guy who I posted the videos of on Yak Angler, those guys are pretty hardcore. I mean, the day they open up mini season, those guys are sitting out in the middle of the Atlantic at night waiting for midnight to strike, and they jump in with lights and go down and start doing it, I mean, as soon as they can, because this area gets picked clean pretty good. There's just a lot of deep water stuff that guys typically don't go to and usually hold bigger bugs, but that beach stuff is really cool, man. I really want to get down there this year with the kayak and jump off and do some of that stuff from the Yak.
I mean, for the beaches right along Port St. Lucie, Jensen Beach, that area, I mean,
yeah.
It's a great beach dive. You just drag your gear out to the edge of the water. It's only like a 50, 75-yard swim to the first reef line. And, I mean,
I'll tell you what, I got a buddy of mine that's been fishing down there whenever the weather's been good, not out of a Yak, but out of the boat. And he put a pretty good dent in the mutton snapper population down there so far this year. Some nice muttons coming off that shallow reef area.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, another 50 yards and you're on the second reef. So first reef is usually around, you know, you're in average about 30 feet of water. You go out to the second reef, you're in like 60 feet. I mean, it's a real pleasant dive. I mean, even if you're just no tanks, if you're just snorkeling. But cool. Lots of talk there. What was I going to ask? I had a subject I wanted to talk about. Oh, okay. So I've got, I pulled out a couple of my reels getting ready for the trip, right? And I'm thinking, that mono's looking a little crappy, you know, kind of faded looking, lots of nicks and stuff in it. So I'm going to re-spool, all right? So what's your favorite spool up for redfish and trout areas? And what kind of reels you use, Dee? Dee, you're up first. Ladies first.
My reels are actually Field and Stream reels. Oh, not my reels. I'm saying those are my rods. My reels are Okumas, usually.
Okay.
They are light-duty reels. I don't need anything heavy unless I get into the bigger fish that Chuck just told us about, so I don't have to fight them too long and make them struggle. But, I mean, I'm happy to do them on a lighter reel as well. So That's what I got. What are they? They're Okuma Stratus.
Okay.
Reels? Yeah.
Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stratic?
I think they're Stratus, not Stradic.
Okay. And what do you got them spooled up with?
They are 10-pound braid, and depending on what species of fish I'm going after, I can go from 10 to 30 pound fluorocarbon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 10 pound braid. Any specific that your favorite? You use Power Pro or?
Mostly Power Pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a favorite color?
Yeah, I like the moss green and yellow, I guess, is okay. I've tried red. I haven't had success with fish as much, ironically, with a red than I have with those two, which is, I don't understand why. I mean, fish see color, right? That's why we'd have different color lures, so I don't know.
And you're not fishing in deep enough water to lose the red color, or to lose the colors. You got enough natural light coming in, so...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying 10-pound braid, and then you're tipping it off with some fluorocarbon leader, right?
Right.
All right. Let's see, Atlantic Crew, what do you got? What are you bringing down?
I'm going to be bringing down my two Corrado E's, Shimano's, my Daiwa Strike Force reels, and a old spinning reel, plus my my heaver, which will be fun on the beach. I spool them up with I spool one up with 30-pound because I do bass fishing all the time, so I got one reel that's spooled up with my one Corrado, has 30-pound Vermilion Red, braid, Power Pro, with at least 4 feet of fluorocarbon tied up with an Albright knot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is a Yozuri hybrid 12-pound fluoro. My other one is pretty much same thing, just 50-pound braid, my flipping rod. And that one's got 50-pound braid, 30-pound fluoro, 6 feet of that on the end with the Albright and strike indicator. My strike, my Daiwa is filled with Vicious, which is the best fluorocarbon on any reel I've ever put. And that's 12-pound? 12 or 15-pound fluoro. That's my crank and reel. And then, the rest of them are all spooled with the 30-pound Power Pro with the 12-pound Yozuri hybrid fluoro leader.
Okay.
And that's a little tip. When you do your Albright knot, which is a line-to-line connection, instead of clipping the tag end, this is a bass fishing trick that I use all the time. Instead of clipping it real close to the knot, I'll clip it at least, give it a half-inch tag or an inch tag, depending on what I want to do and how with the light conditions. And then I'll take the pliers and kind of strip the coating off of it and then kind of loosen the weave and get a big tough-looking thing. I learned this from fly fishermen when they're trying to get that strike indicator and they have the two lines and they have that little tough strike indicator, especially when I'm doing things like, weightless worms, Senkos, jigs, things like that, where I'm throwing them a distance and they start sitting, the fluorocarbon sinks because it's heavier. It hits the bottom and that little tuft catches the air and sits on the surface. And when I'm fishing for real finicky bass, that's when I'll watch that. And you'll see it, it'll just slightly just move or go underneath all of a sudden. That's the strike I'm looking for, and I set the hook. That's a little tip that has caught me a lot of bass.
Okay. Chuck, what do you suggest?
Well, my reels of choice right now are the Shimano Strat CI4 and the 2500. It's the new Stratic. It's came out last year. It's made of carbon fiber, so it's really durable for kayak use, especially in salt water. It tends not to corrode or rust or anything, but I've got that spooled up with 10-pound Red Power Pro. I use red on that Stratic because it looks cool, and I don't care if fish see it.
Chuck catches redfish with his Red Power Pro.
Yeah.
on my granite and red reel. No, but I'm a little bit different than the guys using fluorocarbon. I can't bring myself to spend money on it if I don't have some of it already available to me. I mean, I've got right now. Actually, I kind of got lucky. I had somebody give me a couple of big bulk spools of 12-pound, 15-pound, and 20-pound fluorocarbon, which is pretty much all I'd ever use anyway. But under typical situations, I personally don't like to use fluorocarbon when I'm fishing braid. Fluorocarbon doesn't have the stretch monofilament, and braid doesn't have any stretch. So when you couple those together, you tend to, at least I do, tend to pull a few hooks throughout the day. And, I think that the monofilament acts kind of as a shock absorber. I don't tie an Albright personally. I tie a uni knot or a double uni. And depending upon what I'm fishing for, if I'm fishing for big tarpon or big snook, I'll even throw in a bimini twist to a uni knot to double line up my braid to give me kind of a little bit extra brazen resistance. But it's pretty much the same as D. I mean, 12-pound outfit to me is more than sufficient for pretty much everything that swims in our area, for the most part. That's because we're doing more flats fishing, and we're not fishing around a lot of structure.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm not really too concerned about breakoffs.
Yeah.
My The rods I use, those are, I mean, I build all my own stuff. The rod that I have my Stratic CI4 on is on a Lumis DL2 blank with Fuji silicone carbine guides and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And my fly stuff, I chose some bait casters too, but I don't hardly ever use them. My fly stuff is a Lampson Radius 7-weight on a Diamondback Custom 7-weight rod. I've got a 12-weight outfit for offshore use, and I'll have my 9-weight hopefully in time for our trip, which will be a G. Lumis reel. I think it's called a Current. I'm not sure if that's the name of the actual reel. And then I might get a TFO rod for that. You know, that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool, man. Appreciate that. But it looks like we got a caller in from the Jacksonville area, 904, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
And who is that?
It's Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Welcome to the show, man.
How y'all doing tonight?
All right, man. So you've been listening? You've been on the chat room there? So what's your recommendation?
Looking forward to y'all coming up here.
Oh, man, we're stoked, man. We're all freezing our butts off up here in the north side, and we're ready to come down and see some warm weather.
Well, it was 70 up here in North Florida yesterday.
Yeah,
a little chilly day, but it's going to be 70 tomorrow. By the time y'all get here, it'll be real nice. I like the Falcon XG rods. They're only 6'6", but, you know, it limits my casting some, but most of the creeks I fish aren't that wide anyway. Mm-hmm. And where y'all are going to be, there's a couple wide spots, but mostly Power Pro 10 pounds, plenty. I do use fluorocarbon because there's a lot of oyster beds and stuff up here where we fish at. So it works out pretty good.
Okay. All right, so just a bait caster or a light spinning reel with some 10-pound power?
I use the Stratics and Symmetries. Okay. They're pretty light, the 2500 series. And I've caught, you know, pretty decent-sized reds and everything else. Another guy on the thing here, Scott or Mitchell, as he goes by, nailed a 42-inch red with a little Symmetry, 2500 and 10-pound Power Pro. And, I mean, it took him all over the place, but he brought it in, no problem.
Cool.
So,
now,
but we have been scouting the areas out for you guys and seeing what's going on and everything. Where you're camping at is a really good area. At low tide, you'll have to drag your yaks across a couple of sandbars. But where y'all are camping at, I mean, it's just great fishing. Reds, drum, trout, some nice flounder.
Awesome. Is there? It looked like when I was looking at the Google Maps there that we might even have opportunity to walk out to the beach, maybe fish the beach. Is that what we're trying?
On the other side of the camp, on the other side of A1A, there's two sides of A1A there. I think where you guys are camping at is the side where the creeks and stuff are. It's actually right on Myrtle Creek.
Right.
And the other side is the ocean side. But, yeah, you can do surf fishing, everything. During the summer months, we go out there and shark fish out there in the kayaks. And it's a blast.
Right. What else might you find off the beach?
Oh, there's right now whiting. Pompano have gone. Mostly just whiting and a bunch of pups and stuff, but, you know, what we call pups is little baby sharks up here. And you'll catch quite a few of them. You know, it just depends on what you're using. But a lot of whiting, good whiting. Real good to eat from what they say. I don't eat fish. I just love to kill them. I don't kill them. I just love to catch them. Stretch their lips a little bit, let them go.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
But anyway, I just want to tell her hello.
Somebody have a question for Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie, this is Chuck. What's your typical bait of choice up there, artificial wise, or do you use more natural baits back up in that backcountry area?
I use an orange Slayer jig head, 8 ounce, and I use a lot of the DOA, the shad tails, which are pretty much like a little, not really a swimming mullet, but I use the New Brim color. Does real good. And Saltwater Assassin has a little plastic bait called Chicken on a Chain. And I'll tell you what, if you can get some of that, or we'll pick some up for y'all if we know how many of y'all are coming. And those things work great for trout, reds, everything. And, of course, the water here, the water's been kind of clear lately, but most of the time the water's not real clear. So you use a darker color plastic and just bounce it slow. I mean, just real good flounder and everything like that. The darker the bait you got, the better the chance of getting a flounder.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Also, everybody, you know, I fish for Irish Water Dogs. Everybody who's coming down, we got T-shirts and everything for everybody. We're going to show you all around. And anything y'all need, just, you know, feel free to ask us. Because, like I said, this is our backyard. We know everything around here. And, maybe everybody go up to Irish Pub Saturday night. You think you'll have a real good time.
Yeah, I think so. Somebody's not too happy about it there in the background, but...
I heard that. I remember those days a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to say hello and welcome everybody who's coming down, and I hopefully get to meet a lot of y'all when I get down here. Y'all get in town, just give me a call. I'll give Rob my number and stuff, and just give me a call, and we'll meet y'all and get y'all all squared away.
All right, Charlie. We appreciate it. Look forward to meeting you, man. 14 and a wake up.
All right. Y'all have a good night now.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Well, that sounds good. I'm stoked. I'm ready to go now. How about you, Mark? I think he's
Yeah, that's all I can.
Mark's laying on the floor, kicking and twitching right now.
Like I said, I'm foaming at the mouth, and
that's it. Hey, Chuck, did you say you might be able to get a chance to get up to us, or are you going to meet us halfway when we meet with Dee on Sunday?
No, I'm going to make the trip up. I'm not going to be able to stay. I'll probably drive up in the morning early and maybe fish early afternoon with you guys or something and hang out till about the evening time and then head home.
Okay. All right. And,
I'm not sure with us the next day.
What?
Chuck should come with us the next day.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
or anybody
we'll
else for that matters.
I know that, you know, Dee, they're all saying, "Oh yeah, well, it's a long drive and everything." But I know when I get up early on Sunday morning to drive down your way, that there's going to be a bunch of people following me. I guarantee you.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. The more the merrier.
I might stay away on the trailer.
Speaking of that, what time do we get started in the morning there?
I don't know. I don't know your schedule. You know, we'll have to work that one out because I don't know what time you're leaving and maybe I'll meet you somewhere. I don't know. You know, we'll
what
have to figure it out.
What time do you normally start fishing?
6:30.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, when I get up in the morning, it's usually around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I go out and shake the trees because if I'm awake, the damn birds better be up too, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, if I wake up at 3, so I don't know, how far of a drive is it from there down to you?
I think it's 3 hours, right, Chuck?
3? Yeah, so.
Yeah, to get to D, it's about 3,
yeah,
depending
see?
On how you drive.
So I'm up at 3:30.
And depending on where we actually are going to fish, you know, that's the other thing. You know, it could be between me and it could be up in Mosquito Lagoon by where, you know, Chuck's at. So Chuck can join us, you know.
Chuck is north of you? Chuck's to the north of you?
Yeah, I'm north of D by about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Right.
All right, cool. Yeah, so... And then we were talking to the Yak Sushi Monster last night, and he says his trailer is like it's a create, you know, he's created a monster. So he was whining about he was trying to get it finished up before he came down. He's got like, I don't know, Pam, what did he say? You guys, he's bringing down like 5 yaks.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got yours. He's got a new canoe or something. He said that thing is like as wide as the top of his car.
I know he's bringing a new canoe and 2 Diablos with him. The
the Chupacabra or whatever,
yeah.
And the other Diablo.
Yeah.
And probably his and Sam's kayaks. So that's
right.
Like six kayaks right there.
Yeah, so, and I can put, let's see, I'm going to be bringing, I got the Clones yak, he's got a T120, and then I got my fishing barge, and then I'm actually going to be testing out a T13 that the River Pirate is going to loan me. I wanted to give that a shot. So I got three, but I could stack more of them on the top of my trailer and across the roof of my Jeep, so. We can get everybody. Yep, caravan of yaks going down A1A. We definitely need lots of pictures, too. So
I was going to say somebody needs to take a video.
Well, we got the clone got a dirt bike for Christmas, right? And he's got this little GoPro camera that he straps onto his helmet and stuff. And it's got a little, you know, like a headlamp for fishing at night. He's got one of those, and the GoPro clips right on it, so... We haven't tried it with yak fishing yet, but it's all waterproof and everything, so we'll be.
I have a GoPro; they're awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome little camera. It's amazing. I mean, I got one little cheapo laptop, and the video, that HD video, is so it's so huge it wouldn't run it on the video card on my laptop. But you can plug it right into the big TV, and it's awesome, man. It's like HD Discovery. But, yeah, they're pretty cool. So we're going to play with that when we come down. We'll take lots of pictures. We'll have,
does that thing, that helmet cam, does that shoot in 1080p?
Yeah, it's 1080. We've been running it in 720, which, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know. I can't tell the difference between 720, 1080, but it all looks good. Looks real good.
You know what? I could tell you from experience, if you run it in 1080, you better pony up some serious dollars for a good editing software, because you can't edit 1080 on any of the free softwares for video editing or most of the cheaper generic style video editing software. It can't hold that kind of capacity of information. So, yeah. And the other problem too is you can't send a lot of the GoPro HD 1080p footage to your buddy via email because the files are just way too big.
Right. Yeah, it's got.
So would it be worth it to get like the 960?
I would still
go with the 1080. I mean, if it were me, just because you're gonna one day you're gonna need it. I think I don't think you're gonna need it. But I shouldn't say that. I think that if you don't, then your 960 is gonna be obsolete before you know it. It's they're constantly evolving those things. I talked to somebody from GoPro and they've got some really crazy stuff coming out that I can't really talk about, but. I'm trying to get hooked up with those guys, and I've been nothing but happy with my camera. I know that they're waterproof to, I want to say it's like 180 feet or something like that.
Yeah, it's further than I can hold my breath.
Yeah, well, my buddy Josh uses them for his spearfishing videos. So the ones that, again, the ones I posted on the Yak Angler site, those are all shot with GoPro cameras.
Yeah. So But the 1080, right, the HD, that's what we've got. But when you set the camera to record, you can pick 1080 or 720 or 960 or whatever. The 720, that's kind of the average, because if you want to upload something to YouTube or one of the video boards on the net or something, it's not going to show off any more than 720 anyway, so... Plus, like Chuck said, you got to have some serious video editing software to do 1080. I mean, that's like, what's that, Supermax stuff, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, my buddy Josh just bought an entire new computer just to edit his GoPro footage.
Right.
So, I mean, he spent like $3,000 on a new computer just to be able to edit the footage in 1080.
Dang. That's cool. So we have lots of good video. We've got some good ideas. Okay, now one other question that I had for the crew this evening. As we get ready to hit an hour here, but so I'm loading up my new fly reel. Put about 150 yards of 20-pound Power Pro for backing, or not Power Pro, but I guess it is Power Pro. And then I put my 10 weight forward line on it, and then I tie off my. What kind of leaders you guys like to throw? Do you use a loop connection for your leaders, or do you do like a nail knot?
Oh, I use a nail knot.
Okay. For connecting the leader to the main line?
Yeah.
Do you build up a big tapered leader, or you just use some mono or fluorocarbon?
I use fluorocarbon, and I use I'll tie like a 2.5 to 3 foot section of whatever weight I want to start with. So for me, it's usually 12, and
okay.
then I'll tie a uni from 12 to 20.
Uh-huh.
A uni from 20 to 30, and then 30 off to my main line.
Okay, so you do three sections.
Yeah, and just for me, because for peace of mind, especially fishing around docks and stuff, I think that having that little space of heavier stuff, rather than just running just a straight 12-pound tippet or something, you know, you've got, you know, a little bit more abrasion resistance. And then again, I might be out of my mind, so who knows.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the super cheap way and just take, 6-10 foot of some fluorocarbon and just tie it on the end and say, the heck with it, I'm too lazy to tie up all those other pieces of line and stuff. And throw it out there, but you're not fishing. Well, if you're fishing up around some docks or piers or something like that, that if you're over on the panhandle and you're fishing wrecks, then you probably want to have some abrasion resistance there. But
right.
So Charlie's saying he puts the loop at the jig, but that I guess he's talking about putting it on a regular. He ties a loop knot with a jig. But what's the subject going on with the WD-40 there, Dee? Fill me in with that. Somebody's eating WD-40.
I don't have a clue. I can't keep up with that one. I'm still talking about the loop knots and the not regular knots. So I don't know what the okay. WD is for. I think it's something about cooking.
Yeah, it's like cooking with WD-40. I don't know if that's too healthy. It ain't eatable.
No.
It's kind of like
I want to find that.
It's like my Greek friends put spray and Windex on their elbow and stuff or something because they got a sore arm or something like that.
Yeah, you got that. It keeps you regular and a nice squeaky butt action that you can get.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be doing that, but so what were you talking about? So the loop knot, D. Now you don't fly fish, do you, D?
No, but you know, to get the most natural drop of any sort of lure or jig, you want to tie a loop knot so that it has the most natural motion when you're jigging or dropping onto topwater lures, for example, while you're doing walk the dog. It's the best thing. I mean, you could almost replace every knot that you have tied to your lure, whether it's just a plain old hook with, I'm sorry to say, while you're bait soaking, or if you do a topwater, you know, walk the dog thing, any jig, anything that you're doing with weight, a loop knot makes the most natural presentation that there is, so... Yeah.
Yeah. So you tying like a Rapala knot, or you got a special knot that you tie?
It is the Rapala, actually. I like that one.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it allows that bait a lot of freedom of movement and stuff there. So, okay, cool. Well, we've hit an hour here, and we're all stoked up on showing up down in Florida here. 2 weeks in a wake up. We'll be that way. Pam and Sam and Mark Yaksushi are going to be leaving. Pam, you guys are leaving Thursday morning, right? You're going to be here Thursday night.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're going to be spending the night here in Atlanta. We won't stay up too late so that we can get an early start, right?
Thanks for the offer, by the way.
Say again?
I said thanks for the invite, by the way.
Oh, well, you guys are coming right through, so it's no big deal. And then we just jump right back out. I'm only a couple of miles off the interstate, so we jump back on the interstate and head south, and it's about a 6-hour drive from here to Jacksonville. We'll be there. Landing crew and Rob should be already there with our tent set up, right?
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Chip, he just said that we're seventh.
We're seventh?
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So, we'll talk about that a little later. I got to talk to a couple other people before we make the big announcement. But that's cool. Less than six if we let Charlie drive. Yeah. Well, we're pulling those little kayak trailers behind us. I don't want them bouncing all over the place. But I think I'm going to try putting a hitch on my Road King, because I know it'll pull my kayak trailer. And I could just do what?
Does anybody need gear? Because I got, I have like three tents, from top tent size up to about, I don't know, 10 by 10 maybe.
I don't know. I've got a tent that me and the clones stay in. I don't need it. What's the weather looking like for that? Mark, have you checked the 10-day? How are we looking? I know we're not inside that yet.
10-day there's like 2 days next week where it goes down in the 50s. Lows are in like the 40s and 50s, but the main high temps are in the low to mid 60s, a couple days in the 70s. So,
right.
Say I'm foaming at the mouth and shivering on the floor is an understatement.
Yeah, I know, man. So, all right, cool. Well, and what's this? Okay, Dee's taking off. You taking off, Dee?
Yeah, dinner's ready.
All right, what's for dinner?
Pot pies.
Pot pies?
I'm on my way.
It's always something goofy on Thursday night when we're talking, because I can't cook anything, So
pot pies, that's jail food.
It's better than MREs, right?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, nothing's better than a good MRE.
Dude, you eat an MRE.
Maybe I'll pop one out right now. I have a case.
Especially if I get a chance to warm it up, then it's really good.
All right.
This is a good day.
Rub it up, baby. All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. Good night, Dee. Thanks for joining. All right, okay. So we're gonna call it an evening and let Rob take a nap before he shows up for the 11 o'clock show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. You need your beauty sleep. And what are you talking about pulling your hair out, dude? You ain't got no hair.
Oh no, I've moved on to chest hair.
Oh.
So.
All right.
His hair's like good duck. It migrates south.
All right. So we're looking forward to making it down to Jack's fishing with the folks from Irish Water Dogs and the rest of the crew down there in Jacksonville. So appreciate all the hospitality they're looking to show, and we'll certainly take them up on that Irish Pub event on Saturday night, I guess. So. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We're going to call it quits for tonight, and we'll see you again next Thursday. If you're still up and having a hard time sleeping tonight, Rob would be more than happy to talk to you on the late show. And tight lines, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pam.
you